Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
I'm very glad to be with you tonight for this issue of Serospectives. Our topic is This Month in Technology for the month of November. I am Lisa Salinger, and I'm very glad to be able to introduce our guests to you. First with us is Alina Roberts. She is she's doing private contract work and is probably most well known right now for her feature articles in the Matilda Ziegler magazine. Welcome, Alina.
Thank you.
And we're having a rousing round of tech difficulties all around this evening. So our second guest hopefully will be joining us very shortly. He can hear us, he just cannot be heard as of yet. He is the director for social media at the American Printing House for the Blind, and is probably most well known for the Fred's Head blog. Our second guest this evening is Michael McCarty. And our third guest needs little introduction, except that it's slightly intimidating, but mostly a huge honor to be able to interview our CEO, Mike Calvo.
Uh-oh, I didn't know I was going to be interviewed. Am I going to be interviewed?
Well, sort of.
I didn't even dress for the occasion.
Yeah, well, your brain is kind of going to be picked at random on a variety of fascinating technical topics, so welcome.
Don't worry, Lisa. Don't be intimidated. I'm here to torment Alina.
Oh, good deal. It's someone else's turn.
I'm kidding. Welcome everybody to Serospectives, and it's awesome to be here, Lisa. It's wonderful, and we are having some technical issues because, of course, we are playing with our soon to be released Accessible Event version 2.0, which those of you who use the regular Accessible Event that's out there now are like, hey, I want these features for myself. Well, they're coming very soon, there's some other really cool stuff going on. But I'm not the host, so I'll let you be the host.
Uh-huh. Yes, there is lots of cool stuff going on, and we think that once all the interesting little intricacies are worked out of it, we think you'll enjoy Accessible Event quite a lot. Speaking of new things that are going on, it's too early for that. Let's move on. But stay tuned because you won't want to miss.
Tease.
Yes, exactly. This is fun. I could really do this. I could tease all day. This is kind of cool. Okay, so let's talk a little bit. Let's get serious now and talk about some things that are going on. First, in closer to home in our community. And the first story that we have is that the NLS has modified the digital talking book management software. Anybody know anything about this one or have much experience with this?
Yawn.
I learned about it when I got your email.
It was a non-event.
In my former life, I was a rehab teacher, and so this would have meant putting this on a thumb drive and updating all my clients' players so that if they had to call the library for troubleshooting, at least they had the newest and latest and greatest. And, you know, it is good to keep up to date. I haven't heard anything negative about it. So, you know, check out the link and grab you some software.
By the way, I do advocate, and those of you that have heard me before know how I feel about the NLS program. And I did want to say one thing, because this week when I saw this on Twitter and we started talking about it, some people said, but don't you hate the NLS program? I don't hate the NLS program. I think that the NLS program has a lot of merit. I just think that there's overlap between the NLS program and Audible. Case in point, the latest Steve Jobs book. the biography about Steve Jobs. Now, you tell me, why on earth did they spend the money to record it instead of just licensing it from Audible or whatever, or giving, you know, or just creating some sort of a program where if you can't afford Audible, then you would pay, it would be subsidized by the government for you, like any other entitlement type program. But the days of the NLS being what it is today, where they're reduplicating, and I know that they have some Audible books on there. I don't know what the deal is, why they have some and not others. I guess I'm just calling for NLS reform. That's what we want.
I wonder if it has to do with publisher agreements.
Very likely.
My best guess.
The publishers, the Authors Guild is not our favorite based on what they've done through the Kindle. But, you know, I mean, the whole idea here is that I don't hate the NLS program. I think it's a great program. I just think it really needs some reform. And by the way, hey, tell them that you want Samnet content on those players. Just
that
saying.
Would be very cool.
Just saying. And then it is possible.
Yeah, it wouldn't be limited to people that had the portable book readers. Yes.
That's right. Just saying.
Well, you know, I'm always in for a good book. How's this for a title of a book? How about Perilous Hearts? Except that this isn't a book. This is actually a new game, Blast Bay Studios. Anybody had time to listen to the sample or check this out?
I did get a chance to listen to part of the sample. It was actually a couple weeks ago, so sadly I don't remember a terrible amount. One thing, and this is one of those, it's probably me, not rest of the community, it's using TTS voice, at least in the demo, that would probably get on my nerves and I would be less likely to play it. But I understand that we don't have the greatest options sometimes when you're programming for a video game.
I love video games. I really enjoy speaking to my two sons who are very much into video games. Problem is that they play entirely different video games than I would, and I really wish that we as a community would make some efforts to get into the mainstream and try and push some of these game engine manufacturers or developers to put accessibility into the game engines. That way we can kind of get out there and play. And I know I'm repeating what other people say, but I am behind that, and we'd love to be a part of that movement should it ever really take any kind of a hold in our community. By the way, you guys just dropped out. Did you mute or something, or was I okay?
No, you're fine. You're here.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I fully agree with that idea. I think that there are some neat games that have been designed specifically for the blind community, and I have played them in the past. But I had vision when I was younger and really sometimes miss the ability to just go and pick a game and play it. There's some titles that my friends who are almost all geeks talk about that just sound really, really interesting, but very not blind friendly.
Yeah. Our next story is kind of exciting for me because it does show that we are getting some technologies into the mainstream, like this situation with Code Factory and Nokia with their how do you pronounce it? Noke?
That's what I wondered too.
Yeah, that's how I'm hearing it.
I actually looked it up because I thought Nokia was just misspelled, but it's not. It's N-O-K-E.
Noke? Let me tell you, let me tell you, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I have a great deal of admiration for the folks over at Code Factory. I'm honored to say that Edward is a good colleague, a good friend, whom we've spent hours talking about our community. And he's a sighted guy, and he has a great deal of heart. compassion, all the good stuff for our community, but also a great deal of respect for us as a group of consumers. And it's great to see that that he's brought that breath of fresh air to Nokia. You know, and in light of what they're doing with AT&T here in the States with the Android, you know, with the Android and with with their access stuff on Android, I'm so excited to see that company like a phoenix, I guess, from the ashes, because they took a double whammy when Microsoft decided to bring in Windows Phone 7, and when Nokia decided to drop Symbian. They really took they took it on the chin, and they came up. And Edward, you know, he's an amazing leader, an amazing motivator to his team, and a great guy who's made some great entrees into the mainstream. It's the one thing that I would say is sad is that, you know, it's in Europe that most of this stuff is happening. In the States, we got AT&T that kind of do it from once in a while, but oh my gosh, we see
another
Michael.
Another country heard
but your speakers
Welcome
are
Michael.
On, Michael. I hear myself echoing.
Yeah, Mike is now doing this really cool sort of voice of God thing. Maybe in a box, but...
There we go.
There, that's great.
There he goes. Okay. There he is.
Okay, welcome, Michael. You actually, this...
All right, well, we'll give this a try. I got to figure out to get my speakers turned on and the actual headphones so you guys don't echo.
That's okay.
Well, you know what?
This is the fun of live.
Exactly. And
this won't be here in the archive.
Really, Michael, your timing could not have been better because... Our next set of stories deals with social media and the variants that have arisen and that people are using, the variants basically of the Quitter client. Any thoughts from anyone about those?
How politically correct should I be? Michael,
well,
you want to have a stab at it first,
it's
man?
It's not New Year's, so... Don't have to do the whole new resolution thing.
I'll take a stab at it. Sure, why not?
So what do you think?
I think Quitter was and is a pretty nice program to access Twitter. Of course, it had a lot of drama wrapped around it. And, you know, it's very interesting when people create a free program and they basically give it away. How much complaint that we can sometimes get generated by a free program. And we had lots of people using it. Lots of people wanted lots of features. And, you know, there's only so much you can do in a day, as I'm sure those of you at, you know, that's at Serotech that get to do a lot of programming and all that. There's only so much you can do in a day. And so this poor guy was adding as many features as he could to it. People continued to complain and gripe and moan, and so eventually just said the heck with it and gave it up. And so now we have Quitter, and another one called The Cube, and another one called Twitmonger, and basically they're this pretty much the same three programs with some, you know, changes in each one of the other two. And I did actually a little poll today to find out who was using which program the most, and it looks like right now The Cube is the one that's kind of winning out as far as having the most users and stuff. But I don't know, it's kind of an interesting thing. You know, I used Quitter and tried to do, you know, my part to support the guy and getting it all written and this, that, and the other. And, you know, there were some things in it that I would have liked to have seen improved, but I figured he'd probably get to them eventually. But it was what it was. It was a nice piece of software. A lot of folks are still using it. I haven't seen anything... I haven't seen anything yet that beats it on the PC side that's that easy to use and that accessible.
Yeah, I think that, Michael, you really got to do something about the speakers, buddy.
We're working on it. This has been a wonderful experience here with this software.
Like I said, we had a rousing round of tech drama just about all around.
Yeah. I was actually... I guess, surprised that he lasted as long as he did with dealing with the kind of flack that he was getting. And I have only used Quitter a couple times because I'm primarily a Mac user, and I was really impressed with it. And so I guess there was a part of me that didn't really understand the frustration that people were experiencing. I am happy, though, that he put the code out there and that people are using it and that the community is going to have other options, even if it really is the same program.
Well, let me just jump
it's
in for
interesting
one
that
here.
He...
Michael, what you had done about 10-15 seconds ago did indeed work. While Alina was talking, you're back to echoing, but what you did briefly there for a time did work.
But yeah, it muted you, though.
Oh, good fun.
Yeah, because now we're still echoing.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny because, you know...
I don't hear echoing on my end, which is interesting.
No, you wouldn't hear echoing, because you would only hear it... we would only hear it... if you're wearing earphones, then the earphones would basically turn off the speakers on your laptop. So they should. But he's gone now. Anyway, the thing with Chris, I can understand... I mean, we get paid to do what we do at Serotech, and we still, rightfully so, I guess, from our consumers, get a lot of griping. I find it to be frustrating to watch a young man who's working his way through college, who has decided to do something for our community, not get paid for it, and watch some of the hurtful statements that people make about this young man. And just the way that they just tore him apart in some of the posts. Now, I understand that Chris is quite opinionated. He's a young man. He's in college. Perhaps one day he'll look back at some comments that he's made, as I do, and I think as any opinionated blind person would, and say, "Did I really say that?" You know. But still, that doesn't give anybody the right to tear this guy apart when, you know, he's done, in many cases, you griping, bitching blind person, a heck of a lot more for us than you have, and contributed a heck of a lot more than you have. So anybody who drove this guy out, because that was really, the bottom line was, he got tired of the bitching.
Yeah.
And that's why he stopped. And you know what? Those few of you who did that, ruined it for everybody. So thank you. You know, let's hope that you guys cut some slack for these guys, you know, that are doing Twitmonger, that are doing whatever. I'd love to see all these guys get together under one roof and start working back together as a group again. I don't know how realistic that is. I don't know what the guys that are doing the Cube and Twitmonger and all that are planning on, if they're planning on putting some sort of a business model. I believe they should, even if it's $5, even if it's $10. Yeah, you know, we use it enough. I know we've contributed to him as a company, you know, to Chris and the team, because we believe in what he was doing, and we believe in that entrepreneurial spirit that he is so much displayed with Hope and with this. So I hope that he didn't get angry enough to go somewhere else, because we need to embrace innovators in our community. We need to lift them up, and we need to let them know. And I'm a big boy, you know, I'm 43 years old. I don't really get frustrated that easily anymore, because I understand where a lot of people are coming from. But when you've got somebody in their 20s who's really trying to make a name for themselves in our community, when he is so darn bright, he can go anywhere, this kid.
Absolutely.
It just frustrates me. It really does. And I've never really said it publicly, but that shame on the people who have torn this guy up. I'm not saying to not debate with him or whatever, because like I said, Chris has got a tongue on him. You know, or hands on him, however you want to look at it, but still, there are such a thing as a reasonable let's agree to disagree versus let's just bitch because we don't like the guy's personality or whatever, or some of his opinions. Let's just bitch about his software And the software is great. I still use it every day. And I will always give props to Chris for that, a job very, very well done. And I wish he'd put out a professional version so those of us that want to pay for it can pay for it and give him the respect that he deserves as a developer.
I think it's also important that we consider how we treat our desires. So there's a difference between complaining about a product and putting out a tweet that's requesting,
so I've got
hey,
the microphone
really
muted right now. As long as I hold this button, it's muted, but I can't do anything on the computer.
No. Mike, no, you don't.
Don't say anything too personal there, because you're live. No.
Well, so much for that idea.
And you're listening to the April Fool's Friday the 13th edition of Zoroaspectives.
You guys are going to market this software at some point? Is that what you're saying? You're going to market this?
Seriously, when it works like it should, it is beautiful. It is priceless.
No. Wait. I'm sorry. I got pride of ownership going here. The problem we're facing right now is totally you, bro. It's not us. That it is totally it's totally your sound card. Just saying, but it doesn't matter. We love you anyway. So,
well, the whole setup
there.
Process wasn't me. That wasn't my sound card.
No, that's true. We are. This is in final internal testing. The version that we're using of Accessible Event, and there is some polish left on this particular aspect that you're working on right now. But the outside looks nice. The people on the people that are listening to us, and by the way, this will be a lot nicer in the archives. Patrick's going to have his work cut out for him, but it'll be okay.
Yeah, and really, you can beta something up one side and down the other, but until you go live, you just don't know. And speaking of beta,
now you're muted, Michael.
And talk about a little bit about NVDA. They've put out a new release candidate. As well as an OCR plugin, kind of lumping those two together. But any thoughts from anyone on NVDA?
Has anybody stopped to see how quickly NVDA was able to do it for free, and it requires certain other owners of other software to ultimately pay for an upgrade? If it only took them a couple of weeks to put together, how long do we really think it took Freedom to put it together? Just saying. I mean, is that worth an update? You know, I mean, is that worth an SMA?
Yeah, and I was saying this the other night to a customer who called.
I choose
saying,
not to comment.
Yeah. I was talking to a customer, and they, you know, a question I get asked often is, "Where's our, you know, where's the CD?" And we don't send them because as soon as we implement a fix, we can deploy it and get it to you on your system right away without, you know,
CDs are so 1990s,
really anything
man.
On your part.
Agreed.
Why not, Alina? Come on, to talk about it. What are you going to leave me out here by myself griping about?
Okay,
about
fine.
You want me to tell
you what my honest opinion is?
Remember, this is individual opinions. I do not stand for what Saratech thinks. I'm talking as a blind consumer.
My honest opinion is that Freedom Scientific takes money where they can get it. And if they can rob us of more of our money by requiring that we upgrade with an SMA, then they're going to do it.
I would have to respectfully disagree. Robbing implies that someone holds a gun to your head and takes something by force. If this community wants Freedom Scientific or any other company for that matter, Saratech or anybody out of business, they simply need to do one thing. Don't buy it.
Not buy their products.
That's right. Yeah. Because governments now are doing a lot more freedom of choice by the consumer.
Yes.
No pun intended. And the reality is that if you really don't like the way that any company, including Saratech, treats you as a consumer, by all means, vote with your wallet. And if you're not going to use your wallet and the state's going to use our tax money to do that instead, then vote with everybody's tax money and say, I don't want you to put a dime into that company's pocket because whatever your reason is. So, no, I'd have to say, if they keep getting over on this community, you know, first time your fault, next time my fault. How many times are we going to be the sucker? And at least for me, in my I ended my suckerhood back at version 7.1 or something, and never to be a sucker again to an SMA. But
so I agree with you, except for the fact that there are still many members of our community, probably nobody who's actually listening to this podcast. I think we're all a little more tech savvy than some. I've met more voc rehab counselors who don't even know about any other screen reader on the market except for JAWS. Mm-hmm. And I have the ability, I have the know-how to tell them, no, there are other options, and yes, they are good, and yes, this is why we should be investing in them. But it's been a kind of an eye-opener for me that we've got all these people that are like, what's WindowEyes? I don't even know what WindowEyes is. Or what is VoiceOver? What are you talking about?
Yeah, so well, that's changing. I mean, that is certainly changing. And everybody, you know, the problem has been that there has not been so many people looking for technology for personal use like before. I mean, VR and education is all that was done with this technology. In Freedom's defense, when Freedom first came to the table, through Henter Joyce and then beyond into Freedom, and they've done a fantastic job. Let me tell you, I mean, before I wouldn't be here today, many of us wouldn't be here today were it not for the efforts of Ted Henter, Chris Hofstetter, and others that paved the road for Freedom Scientific to be able to make the millions of dollars it made later. However, innovation stopped. And that's what frustrates me. Forget about personalities. Forget about this. It's just that what are they doing that's new and innovative? What are they doing that is justifying the cost of an SMA? And why must we be held hostage to it? I mean, adding a new operating system is not an upgrade, people. It's simply a competitive advantage. You know, if you want to keep selling your software, then you support Windows 7. Next year, though, they will pull it again and call a Windows 8 upgrade an upgrade. And if you don't have Windows, if you don't have the latest and greatest version, then it won't work on Windows 8. So you'll be forced. And that's just wrong. That's wrong for any company to do. But then again, I mean, I'm not the boss of them. And, you know, and I am glad that more consumers are being outspoken. We've got a much more informed consumer today than we had, say, 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And also the power of the internet has united us to where we can talk to each other. I mean, how many blind people did you know growing up, Lisa? How many blind people did you know growing up, Alina or Michael? I didn't know very many. Yeah, I didn't know very many. And the ones I knew were very strange.
What are you talking about? We're all strange.
This is true.
Yeah. You know, I put
in a
story.
Did we lose Michael, by the way?
Michael, are you with us? Yeah, I think we did.
Okay.
Hopefully he will be able to join us again. I'm going to pretty much skip over one story, because we're going more in depth with some, which is excellent. I did include the story about the robot guide dog, and so that in the event that you, the construction with that needs its own backup beep, so that if you missed that story, you can check it out in our show notes. It talks about a Japanese company that's developing a robotic guide dog. But I thought that Mike's last comments about the internet uniting people is a perfect segue into our next story, which, you know, one thing, we talk about all the screen readers and various companies and what different people are doing. And I, again, this is my own opinion. It doesn't represent Serotech or whoever, but I've been with the company since August, and I'm really thrilled, not only with my coworkers, but the more that I get to know the products, the more I see how really innovative they are. And there was a train of thought, and it kind of went somewhere. But, you know, I think this is a very cool thing that we're putting in the works, and let's let Mike tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, first, I mean, I want to elaborate for a second on what Serotalk is and what it isn't. It is not... Serotalk is a way for people to be able to get their information. I do my very best when I come in here and when I appear on our podcast and stuff to not be the Serotalk salesman. That's not what this network exists for. And I think that we've proven that not only to our listeners and participants, but also to the technology companies that we represent their products. We talk about their products candidly. And if somebody does something that's awesome, we say so. And in full disclosure, I like what Freedom did with the OCR thing. I don't see much use for it in my life. And it's kind of trippy to me that it took NVDA a couple of weeks to do the same thing. It was just very interesting. And as a consumer, my opinions were based as that. This particular thing, though, this veterans thing, I believe is just, for any company, is the right thing to do. You know, if you look at freedom and its importance in the United States, or liberty, and its importance in the United States, I think the next word that should go right next to it is capitalism. And let me tell you, lots of blood has flowed for capitalism. In most undeveloped countries on this planet, many, many, many of the listeners of this very podcast, of this presentation, would not be able to do such a thing. You'd be sitting on a street corner collecting money somewhere. You'd be working in some sort of a sweatshop somewhere, possibly. There are other places on this country where you are in this world where you would be living in caves. You would be put into prostitution at early ages to serve the disgusting whims of someone else, of some perv. You know, there's a lot to be said for developed nations that have put the liberties of their people first. And and to sacrifice your life is obviously the ultimate sacrifice. But I can't think of anything more that is more hell on earth for a person that has lost their sight and is so alone and has no way to communicate with anyone else. And that's why I think that it's not only our corporate obligation as a corporate citizen, it's our obligation as citizens of this country and as fellow blind people to open our arms, to open our hearts, and to open our mouths and thank these blessings, these angels that have come back, whether you agree or disagree with the wars that are going on in this country. I didn't start them. I don't fight them. But darn it, I'm going to bless those that do fight them, because they did not question as to the right or wrong of the war. They went and served their country, and they paid a price for that, and that price was the loss of their sight. 13% of people coming back from Afghanistan, Iraq, and other war zones that we're involved in have lost or are losing their sight. That's an amazing and, in my opinion, catastrophic number. And we as a community need to demonstrate to them that we honor you, we respect you, we love you, and we embrace you, and that blindness, with our assistance, because we've been here and done this, is you can have a normal life after losing your sight. You know, and you can have a productive life after losing your sight. And it is of the utmost importance that all of us in this community welcome, and regardless of what it costs, regardless of what it takes on personal investment, whether that be time, money, love, tears, compassion, whatever you can contribute to help one of these angels to understand that, hey, you know, we're here and we want you to be productive. We want you, in exchange, to have the liberty that you fought for, that you lost your sight for. And that's why I believe that Serotalk can provide that. I believe that we have a community of compassion, of people full of compassion on our network, on SAMNet, that have dealt with enough newbies to be able to guide and love these guys by providing private chat rooms and things of that nature, meeting areas for them to be able to meet with other blind vets separate from everyone else on the community so that they can contact each other and continue to network. It's amazing. And by the way, for those of you who have written to us, and I can't believe that you have the audacity to do so, to ask why aren't we doing it for the community? Because you, the day you decide to go over and lose your sight for your country, we'll do it for you too. But meanwhile, they're different. And that's the way we stand, and that's just the way it is. So if you don't like it, don't buy our products, badmouth us, but as for me, and this company and everybody, we're going to honor our veterans. We're going to honor those who put their lives on the line for this country. And God bless America and God bless you guys.
You know, I finally remembered my long-lost train of thought, and that was that I feel like in these podcasts we don't often blow our horn. And it would be monotonous if every time you tuned in, all you heard was, quote, the Sarotech horn. You know what? I think we have a pretty cool horn, and so I really hope that you will take the time to check us out. Call us up if you have questions about our products. We'll be happy to talk to you. Want to move on? Yeah, I know. What?
I'm sorry. It's just that... Never mind. I'm just going to... No horny old man jokes or anything like that, you know.
This was clean.
I did. I went there.
We're talking next about children. You have to bite your tongue and put a smile on your face and be nice.
Alina?
Yes?
Will you do that?
Are you still there?
Yes.
Good.
She's smiling.
Of course.
I think we're all smiling at this point.
I think that, Mike, that you did a very good job of discussing why you guys are doing what you're doing. I agree. I personally do not support either of the wars, but that's not the point. The point is that I do support our veterans, and I do support that they've decided to sacrifice themselves. And if they come back with a loss of vision, which I know will be devastating for all of them, I think that we can always do as much as we can to be there for them.
And for those of you who don't really know what we're talking about, I do encourage you to go to sarotalk.com and check out the show notes. We have a link to this item, and it's on the main page of the blog as well. Basically, what we are going to do, Sarotech is going to be providing lifetime access to the System Access Mobile Network for our veterans.
Oh, yeah. I just assumed everybody knew. I'm sorry.
I did, too. And all of a sudden, this little light went on, and I thought, maybe they don't. But speaking of good things, we would like all of you to tune in to Twitter. You know, today is the first day of December, and so you can kind of call this the 12 days of Sarotech, and keep watching and keep counting down the days, because we're not going to tell you exactly what it is yet, but we will tell you that it will be worth the wait once that 12th day of Sarotech has passed. And
it's not the release of Accessible Event yet.
Yes, exactly. And I will not say any more because it's not any fun to unwrap the present before it's time. But we hope that you will keep, you know, follow us on Twitter or, you know, check out our site, because this is a big one and we're pretty excited about it.
Speaking of presents, Lisa,
yes.
Have you written your letter to Santa?
Oh, I started, and then, you know, I filled up this 500-gig hard drive with my letter to Santa, so, no, I just abandoned it.
Jeez.
Not really.
Leave some for the rest of us, man.
That's actually funny, because it would be like the opposite, you know, really, but,
Santa baby.
Yeah. Let's move on.
I don't sing it as sexy as Madonna does. NFB has partnered with Santa to provide Braille letters for children. It's awesome. It's awesome that the NFB is doing this in promoting Braille literacy. We are very much in favor of Braille literacy, and I'm encouraged to see that remote products and remote Braille is getting better and better because, of course, some of the best Braille teachers are right here in the good old U.S. of A. And I'm sure that there are beyond, but I'm biased. By providing remote access to these teachers and Braille displays in not only developing countries, but in other places, we are going to be able to continue the celebration of our own way of communicating through Braille. And I applaud the NFB and their efforts. And this is a great program. So if you... I'd love my phone going off in the middle of a...
Some of us anyway. Put our phones where we couldn't hear them.
I know, and I forgot. I'll go mute it now, but it's wonderful to know that they're doing this. So if you have a child, a blind child, visit the NFB's webpage or right here on the notes. You can click on it, and you can get a letter written to your child from Santa in Braille.
And, I mean, a lot of kids can say, you know, that they wrote to Santa, but how many can say they heard back? I think that's very cool.
I agree.
We are going to skip over some stories because we have taken the in-depth approach. But if you want to take a glance at the main stories of the month of November, again, broken record, I do encourage you to check out the show notes. And also some of our other podcasts. For example, one of the stories that we had was on Android. And we encourage you to check out that Android show. And we have some exciting news, and I think it all centers around Oregon, actually.
Indeed.
The first part of our exciting news is truly exciting. The second is, but it is one of our stories. The first is that we are very pleased. If you have enjoyed hearing Alina tonight, you'll be hearing a lot more of her because she is going to be one.
Shut up.
She is going to be one of the hosts on the Triple Click Home show. So
yay.
That's very cool. I said to her, I'm jealous.
Excited.
She gets the show with the fun music. We don't have a theme, but I think the Triple Click Home theme is very fun and talk about a lot of really pertinent things. Alina, did you by chance have a chance to, that's a lot of chances, to try the iPad voting that they're talking about?
Sure. I did not myself try it out. The iPad voting was done in the two counties that were hosts of a special election. We had one of our congressmen resign earlier this year, and so we had a special election primary for his replacement, and they decided that would be a great time to try out the iPad voting options. I have to say, as an Oregonian, I'm going to toot my state's horn, which is that we have been very innovative on making voting really accessible. We're one of the few states in the country that votes by mail only. And 2 years ago, I believe now, they came out with what they call their accessible ballot. And so rather than having a paper ballot sent to me, I get an HTML file. I do my voting on my computer. I'm able to verify that it has accepted the votes that I want. I then print it out and put it in the envelope that they have sent me. And that's all it takes. So for a screen reader, as a screen reader user, it's very, very friendly. They also have a large print ballot that people can have access to. And the reason they came out with the iPad idea was because they also will go to somebody's home or to a nursing home, and actually help somebody vote. And the great thing about the iPad is that it's compatible with Braille displays. It's user-friendly to people with dexterity problems. And it allows for external devices to be paired with it. And that makes it really usable for many kinds of disabilities. So I'm really excited. They're hoping that if this goes well, and I haven't heard anything that it didn't, so their plan is to actually bring it to all 36 or 7 of our counties by our next major election. Thank you to Apple, who actually donated those 5 iPads that they used in the special election. I don't think that they're going to donate all of them, but it was very nice of them to donate those first 5.
So let me ask, so if you have an iPad, I guess you can't buy an app, but if you did buy an app and you wanted to return it because it wasn't accessible, well, there's a new way to do that now, and we provide you a link right here to be able to do that. I'm sure that this has been very well tested. It is cool. But if you do want to return an app, as I did the other day, because I wanted to look at a music magazine on newsstand, and all of a sudden I downloaded it and I realized that all newsstand content is not created equal. There are instructions on how you can do that. And if worse comes to worse, you can, of course, always call Apple. I ended up having to call Apple because part of the at least before I read this article, part of the process was not very user-friendly. So I just got frustrated and called Apple and said, "Where's my money? You know, I want my $25 back." So, but that was... That was cool. It's interesting to me, the next article here, looking at how Yahoo Access is talking about, 10 things blind people can teach you about Siri. How about some Yahoo Access on other browsers besides Firefox, people? Just saying. What do you think of this article, ladies?
I haven't... Yeah, don't use Yahoo.
So how do you really feel?
I guess that's my comment on their accessibility.
Don't use Yahoo. Nice.
I had Yahoo Mail for years and years and years, and they kept changing their layout, and it just got worse and worse and worse. I'm like, oh.
Victor, it's nothing personal, man. We love you, but
yeah,
you know.
No, and I really Yahoo do sucks. Like the I really like the blog. I think they feature some really neat content and really neat articles.
Yeah. And Victor's a great guy. I mean, Victor's very, very nice guy. He is.
But I don't. I think it's cool that we can teach people about Siri. I'm not really sure how I understand how we're teaching them, but that's okay.
And if you don't,
you know, there are blind
either,
people in the
you
commercial.
Can read our show notes. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, right. Lisa says, "Go read the article, Alina."
No, it is pretty cool though because they've turned it. I mean, really, Apple had a choice when they marketed Siri, and they could have said, "Here is this special thing, and you know, it's useful by people who are blind, and it's useful by people with manual dexterity issues." But they didn't. They just said, look at this cool thing. Anybody can use it.
Yeah.
And,
I agree.
If you
now, here's something people can't use. Microsoft Office 365.
I was going to say, I'm afraid. What are you picking out? Yes.
Oh, I'm just looking here at you know, I wanted to say something about Windows 8. On phones next year. I don't think that Windows 8 is going to be on phones next year. I think that Steve Ballmer was taking a deep breath or something and just kind of put the sentence together funny. But no matter what they do next year, Microsoft better put some accessibility into their Windows 8 platform, because considering the fact that they're right before RIM, I believe, in market share, You guys need as many customers as you can get. And so I would really strongly suggest that you guys put accessibility into that platform.
I know at least, you know, a handful of mobile geo users who really do like their mobile geo and would like a newer phone, but they can't because it won't work.
Well, I think that Edward, I don't think Edward's going to invest in that platform again. I don't want to speak for Edward, but I wouldn't.
Yeah,
be
no, but
twice.
I understand what you're saying, but yeah.
But Office 365 is starting to roll out some new updates, and hopefully we'll see some new stuff. We use Office 365 at Cerotech. It is
it
a great product.
Some of my email.
Great, it did.
Yeah, a couple. No.
Well, it is a great program, except for when it's eating people's email. Are you not feeding it properly, Lisa, making it steal your email?
It got overfed. Actually, it gave them all back to me today around 5 minutes before I was ready to log off. So,
how nice of them.
It's being, you know, but hopefully we will see some accessibility improvements. You know, this is very fun, and we've got to do this again. I'm thinking of the Cerotalk podcast where they always have unusual titles, and I've listened to some of those and suggested titles. So as you guys are talking, I'm thinking of titles. And Mike, unfortunately, you are the most fodder-rich source. So far, I've come up with Suckerhood. Is that a word? And the other one is Just Saying.
Just Saying.
And actually, we do need to keep moving.
How about Horny Old Man?
How about we talk about GarageBand?
You know, we got to get Patrick. We've been talking about getting Patrick, our behind the scenes post production guy. Who doesn't know Patrick Perdue? But if you don't, everything you hear
you
on this network is is produced.
You're not part of the cool gang.
That's right.
You know, I was talking to him the other week about.
We want him
singing.
To do a demo of it.
Yeah,
of GarageBand.
Yes.
Yeah,
I was
you
talking
should.
To him the other week about the singing deck talk, all the singing deck talk stuff he did, and he acted all embarrassed. And I'm thinking, don't be embarrassed. I'm almost three times the age you were when you did that stuff, and I wouldn't begin to know how to do it. You know. So yeah, he's a good guy. But I figured you would have some interesting Just Saying about, but maybe possibly Just Saying of a happier variety, the MacBook Air story. I wonder how many of those MacBook Air purchases are because of the MacBook Air reviews that you did. I know of three or four anyway.
Wish. Don't we wish? No, but it is a great unit. I mean, it's a great PC. And the more that I play with it, the more I love it. I mean, it's a great system. I use it every single day. A number of people that have purchased the one that we recommended on the podcast have purchased it and written back in saying we love it too. And I know Lisa, you have one and you love yours. Are you on it right now?
Today and it's still running. Yes, I am.
Are you using it right now?
Yes.
I'm not even going
completely.
To make any jokes about
no,
that.
No, it was... Yeah, don't. Good man. But, yeah, that's... it's a very neat unit. And like I said, we did take the in-depth, unwound sort of approach this evening, and we hope you enjoyed it. If you want a little more technological bang for your buck, you can look at all the stories we didn't cover. And I want to just give you a little bit of a preview of what's coming up. This is, in some senses, a rare month because we would have three Cerospectives this month, today on the 1st, and then in 2 weeks on the 15th. You'll want to tune in for more details because we will have our Christmas concert on SamNet, and we're thinking archives. There's a lot of talent, and if you are interested, you can contact Tom Schill For more information, he is coordinating all of that, hosting it for us this year, and coordinating the people who are going to participate. And then, at the end of the month, if you thought tonight was a free-for-all, this is just preparatory for this year.
What, are you bringing CEOs from other companies in, and we're going to, like, duke it out in the center ring or something? Or what are you doing?
That would be funny.
Afraid. It's this year in AT. We're going to talk about the top stories from this year. And that's always interesting to see how they arrive at those stories and what people, what people really liked and what they thought was big news. And these are always a surprise to me because I think, well, wow, you know, that much didn't really happen this year. And then they go all the way back to January and you think, well, yeah, wow, I forgot about that. So that's a really interesting retrospective, more or less. So if you would like to enter into more of the insanity this evening, you are welcome to join us. If you have a SAMNet membership, you're welcome to join us in the tech chat room, where we will convene shortly after this. If you don't have a System Access Mobile Network membership, you can download a free trial at www.sa2go.com. I would like to thank all of our guests this evening. Alina with her smiles and the laughs that got us through. And Mike for just saying. And Michael for your brief but meaningful appearance. We hope that we'll be able to have you back at some point and talk with you in more depth then. So thanks, everyone. We appreciate your listening. And please just know that Serotech is made possible, or Serospectives is made possible, through technology from the Serotech Corporation. Thank you and good night.